Estonian. I'm Maya Mukherjee.
And I'm Leela Siskind. You're listening to Daybreak. Although it may surprise you, what you've just heard isn't a chamber choir's recital in an auditorium. It's one of Princeton's 14 a cappella groups, the Tiger Tones, singing an 1879 arch right outside of Frist Campus Center. If you've ever been for a walk late at night, you've likely come across one of these arch sings. An over 80-year-old Princeton tradition, arch sings, as their name suggests, take place in one of campus's many arch passages. They involve a few a cappella groups singing some of their repertoire in the relaxed setting that provides excellent acoustics. But you may also have noticed that not all arch sings are created equal. Some are organized by a group called acapres, and others are not.
So what is acapres? Despite its mysterious-sounding name, it turns out that acapres just stands for a cappella presidents. It's a coalition of the 8 oldest a cappella groups at Princeton. The Footnotes, Tiger Lilies, Nassoons, Tiger Tones, Cats and Jammers, Tigressions, Wildcats, and Roaring Twenty. The Nassoons are the oldest, founded in 1941, and the Wildcats were founded in 1987, making them the youngest of the acapres groups. The Footnotes, Tiger Tones, and Nassoons were historically all male, and the Tigressions, Tiger Lilies, and Wildcats were historically all female. The Cats and Jammers and Roaring Twenty were founded as co-ed spaces. But acapres isn't just a title given to the oldest groups. It serves several important logistical functions. Robert Mohan, class of 26 and social chair of the Nassoons, explains more about acapres.
In reality, it's sort of just a group chat. It plays largely a logistical role, and it's not necessarily a brand, and it's not a union of any sort. It's largely a forum to discuss arch sings and the order of an arch, because the order, in the world of a cappella, the order of an arch sing matters a lot. And so there's a complex point system, and groups get to choose their slot in an arch sing. And then during auditions, acapres is really important because there's all sorts of non-competitive clauses in acapres. Mm-hmm. So if someone is invited to join an acapres a cappella group, but turns down the offer or joins a group and quits it, then you can't audition for any acapres groups in your time at Princeton. Things like that. So that's why acapres is kind of this governing body, but really they don't have like this jurisdiction or authority over the group's internal matters. It's just a way for all the presidents to communicate.
Christine Chen, class of 25, president of the Cats and Jammers, feels that having a consolidated group promotes a sense of collaboration rather than competition.
The idea behind it was to promote collaboration and also sort of a friendly sense of coexistence compared to other colleges where, like, there often is an issue of groups poaching people and poaching repertoire. Those are the two main things that we try to avoid, which is why we schedule our auditions together and have a spreadsheet to coordinate who has what song, just so that we can all do a cappella in a friendly space.
Acapres may not seem friendly to some, though. It only includes the 8 oldest groups, which means that familiar names like Old Nassol, Shere Khan, and V-Tone are not part of it. William Yang, class of 25 and president of the Nassoons, told the Prince about his thoughts on the division.
From a perspective of increasing the inclusivity, I don't see why we can't just have all of the groups be in acapres, or all of the presidents of the groups be in acapres. It's not really something that has been discussed. I think for the most part, presidents are just worried about keeping their own group stable and working through that. And it's not like a matter of them wanting to exclude others. It's more of just staying you in and keep going what's been going on.
While the groups that are in acapres are united under the same bureaucratic structure, that doesn't mean they provide the same experience for members. Several of the members discussed how each group's culture and approach to making music is different. For Christine, the singers the group welcomes, as well as the music it performs, make it unique.
I think part of the specialty, I guess, or niche of the KJs come from how we started. We were the first co-ed a cappella group, not only like in Princeton, but also like in the Ivy League and also nationwide. So that there is that special element of like we are the first to like bring people of all voice types together in an a cappella setting, and we hold on to that history and we're really proud of it. And then the other thing is just that we do kind of a different set of repertoire than most of the groups on campus. We are still very much in sort of the jazz space. We do oldies and then some musical theater.
For William, the Nassoon's technical ability makes them stand out.
I genuinely do think that the Nassoon's, at least for my ears, I guess, maybe biased ears, I think have the best harmonies, the most beautiful harmonies in terms of their background vocals. Because there's a ton of amazing soloists out there on campus, but I think what differentiates the Nassoon's is their ability to blend and make really rich harmonies.
For Danny Samake, class of 24, a member of the Wildcats, the group's history as a space for inclusivity is what makes it special.
The Wildcats was founded in the 80s by two Black women on campus who were, you know, it wasn't the inaugural class of Black women on campus, but definitely in the earlier years of people like me being on campus. And the group was really founded on notions of respect and tolerance and inclusivity, but also as a place where Black people, but also people who are not Black, could really bring their full selves to the group. And for me, it's more than be accepted. Like, it's be accepted, but it's also like be able to kind of, there's that phrase, like take your seat at the table, lead, be seen, I think. And that, I think having that as your founding story is a special thing.
Sam Chang, class of 25 and president of the Tiger Tones, emphasized the sense of community in his group.
We are an all-male a cappella group, and you know, we have over 75 years of history, and I think it holds a lot of value now, and it has since the founding. I think you see that in when we do reunions. You know, we have hundreds of alumni come back. We did a 75th anniversary celebration where over 200 alum came back.
While it's true that each group encourages camaraderie, a cappella hasn't always created a welcoming space for everyone. Robert described this in the context of a cappella's history.
A cappella, more broadly in the U.S., is sort of considered an activity associated with whiteness, and it has been. I think a cappella music often has surrounded like predominantly white institutions. And at Princeton, surely it was founded in that climate of the 1930s and 40s and 50s. And so I think it undoubtedly colors a cappella as a genre in a way.
This association of a cappella with whiteness can prove challenging for students of color who perform in this space. Danny discussed her experience as a Black woman in an a cappella group.
I do think that in my own personal experience, there are just times when I think I've experienced that my Blackness is sort of perceived in a certain way negatively. I'll just like be candid about that, again, with or without intentionality behind it. And I think that that just adds an extra layer of challenge. I think there are just instances where I did have to sort of wonder, like, is this happening or is this sort of unfolding the way it's unfolding because I'm Black and people perceive Black people broadly, generally, in a certain way, and they're projecting that onto me. So it's a unique challenge.
Another aspect of a cappella that singers wrestle with is the gendered nature of the groups. Princeton began admitting women in 1969, so early a cappella groups were all male. After that, the first all-female and co-ed groups were founded. But as our conception of gender moves away from the binary, some of the groups have changed the language they use to describe themselves accordingly.
For instance, the Nassoons and Footnotes now use the term, quote, low voice to be inclusive of low-voiced singers who do not identify as male. The Tigressions describe themselves as a, quote, femme group, and the Wildcats are, quote, all women and gender. Other students prefer to avoid gendered a cappella altogether and join mixed voice groups.
I really gravitated towards co-ed a cappella group or mixed voice a cappella group just because like I don't have to really contend with my femininity and like with my gender as much.
However, not all the a cappella groups have felt the need to adapt. The Tiger Tones, for instance, continue to call themselves an all-male group.
We've decided to stay all-male because we feel like, you know, there's a musical element to an all-male sound. Just traditional barbershop makes up a good chunk of our repertoire. Singing as a male in sort of this culture is not as widely accepted. I think it gives us a safe space to share sort of our interest and talent in that together. And that's not to say that, you know, I think something that is misconstrued in an all-male environment is that it is like very toxic, this idea of like male toxicity. And from my 3 years in this group, like that has definitely not been the case. And I think anyone that interacts with the Tones would be able to attest to that as well.
A cappella is a historic part of student life at Princeton, and groups are grappling with how to reframe their language and their culture, if at all, for students now. But whether it's building safe spaces for a shared musical passion or taking space at the table, each individual group and ACAPRES as a whole has been a source of community for decades. A cappella offers an outlet for students to come together and express themselves in ways that they otherwise may not have been able to.
I am also an RCA on campus, which I really love. I'm kind of like always Danny the RCA, whereas throughout my time in a cappella, it's been really cool to have a space where I could really just be Danny who is me, Danny who likes to sing. I can sort of be myself.
That's all for Daybreak today. Today's episode was written by Leela Siskind, Twyla Colburn, and me. Sound engineered by Leela Siskind, and produced under the 148th Managing Board of the Prince. Our theme was composed by Ed Horan, Class of 22. For the Daily Princetonian, I'm Maya Mukherjee.
And I'm Leela Siskind. Have a great day.